This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Sam Woodcock, Senior Director for Cloud Strategy at Island.
Thank you, and it's great to be here as well. Just a little bit about myself. I love photography, I love electronic music, music in general. One of my primary loves in the world is technology. So I work for a technology company, Island Cloud. We've been in business actually over 25 years, but the last 12 years focus on cloud-based services. Really what we focus on is core products and solutions. That's cloud hosting, data protection and disaster recovery primarily. And I've worked for Island for over 7 years, primarily in a solution architecture position, helping customers achieve their goals in the cloud. And now I'm working on the cloud strategy for Island with our executive team.
One of the challenges we have for companies is they've really got large on-premises environments. They've spent the last 10, 15 years going through a phase of virtualization. And part of what they're being told is you should just be able to lift and shift your virtual environments and everything will be rosy in the cloud. True or false?
It's a little bit of both, I would say, because what you want to look at is what are the objectives that you're trying to achieve with a solution? What are you trying to achieve as a business? You've developed your environment over many years and you're looking to the cloud, but what cloud? You have to assess the environments and the solutions you're looking to achieve based on what they're actually going to bring your business. One cloud may not be the best use case for everything that you have in your environment. You may need to utilize multiple environments. You may utilize multiple cloud-based applications to actually achieve your objectives. It's a process of assessing what you have running today. Is everything that you have running today required anymore, or can I decommission some of those services? That's a process that you have to go through.
But how do we get there? It makes an assumption, first of all, that the customer knows what they're running today. It makes an assumption that they know what is used, what isn't used. How do we set customer expectation so that they can begin that decommissioning, begin that decision-making process?
Yeah, it's working with organizations that really want to have a partnership with you. You have to identify vendors and partners that are going to work with you at a human level, who can work with you and step you through that process as a trusted advisor. Somebody who has the experience in the past of actually leading successful migration. Challenge them on what they do, how they work, and have they had successful projects in the past. It's identifying the right people. Do they have the right process? Are they going to work with you hand in hand, or are they just looking for a quick transaction? And then look also towards vendors that maybe have built solutions and software that can help you understand your overall requirements, both from a technical and a business perspective. What software and capabilities do they have to look at that environment, understand that, hey, maybe 90% of those will work well in my environment, but the other 10% may require different solutions and software. There's lots of technology in the marketplace today, but it's really about understanding which pieces of those technology are going to help you in that journey, which one's going to work, which elements do you need to leverage to get to that endpoint destination.
If we roll the clock back to 20 years ago, we'd have enterprise system architects. They'd have a really good idea of what the software components were, what the core critical business apps were, how this all filtered into the different tiers of technology the business was running. Fast forward to today, even in the largest of organizations, it's rare to find somebody who has a handle on the core technology, let alone all the other off-spins where business units have gone out and bought software as a service here or software as a service there. What can people do to first of all get an understanding, and when you migrate them across, how do you bring them across coherently rather than big bang and everything breaks?
It starts again with those types of software assessments where we understand all of the workloads that are running. What do the resources look like for those machines? What does the network layout? What are the independencies between applications and network layer? What does the disk layout look like? What does the performance needs look like for those disks and those elements? What applications are running on those systems and how do they interact with other applications within the wider environment? How do end users connect through to those systems, both from an internal perspective when they're in the office or if they're working from home or in remote spaces, how do they connect into those systems as a business? What do those processes look like and how do they deliver those solutions to their customers and their end users? You need that total holistic look about how these interchangeable component parts interact together using software and tools and process so that you can effectively understand what do I move first, what do I move second, what do I move third? Can I move this group together? Is there something I'm missing? You need to look at everything together to have a successful migration. If you don't look at all of those individual things in totality and plan for that, you may end up with a failure in terms of the migration itself.
You mentioned dependencies. Dependencies are probably the biggest fail point we see, not just in terms of cloud migration, but let's go back to disaster recovery, business continuity. How many people plan this but don't understand the complex relationships of elements within a large business application? When we start to think about dependencies, where do you pick them up from? You talk about tools, but what specifically is needed?
One tool that we have, iLAN, for example, is our Catalyst tool. So that's just doing a snapshot-based look at the environment in its totality. We generally would run that throughout the engagement because, like you say, change is a constant within an organization and an environment. So it's good to not only look at something at the start of the project or the start of the inception of the design process, but throughout that. It's good to look at that on a live basis because things change, dependencies may arise, or pieces may become apparent as you look at it over a longer period of time. It's really important to look at that. Network traffic and network mapping and topologies can give you an idea of how applications interact, but I also think you need that human approach to work with the experts within an organization who run those applications on a daily basis and understand how they leverage those, what component parts are working together, and get the feedback not only from a technology side but also from a people side to understand how it all fits together so you can build an appropriate plan.
As a company, you have a history in disaster recovery. How much of that has simplified the ability to migrate customers to the cloud?
It's a great point. Often, iLAN as an organization, we offer cloud hosting. We offer mission-critical production hosting. But the main thing that a lot of people know iLAN for is our industry-leading disaster recovery solutions. So often, people are looking towards the cloud, but they don't want to go all in. They want to get a taste of what that cloud service looks like. They want to look at the cloud provider for what their support looks like, what their availability looks like, what their performance, how reactive as an organization are they? Are they trusted? Are they meeting their word? They want to look at all those pieces in advance, and so they may look at an initial service like backup or disaster recovery to dip their toe in the water and judge the provider based on those criteria points. I think it's a really good way to do that. And often we find organizations who have success with us are obviously a disaster recovery customer. They're testing their production applications in our cloud when they go to do a DR test. They may do a DR test every year. They may want to do one every 6 months or more frequently. That's giving them the opportunity to judge performance and availability and all the other pieces that make up judging whether that cloud environment is great for production hosting. It can allow you to validate, does my end user access work from a networking perspective? Can my users get into those applications? Do they perform as expected? It's a really great way to validate the success of hosting those systems in the cloud with less risk. And once they've got over that comfort gap and they've identified, hey, this is the right bet for me and this is the way forward, the DR technology is also a great way to understand how long is that process going to take. So with a lot of DR technologies that we offer, once you run a DR test, it will tell you how long that DR test took to bring online the virtual machines and power them online. We can get a time to the business of how long that's going to take. We can also give you a time based on, hey, if we just fail over this application or this set of applications, what's that look like? So they can maybe plan a staggered migration, but set the expectations with their business around downtime or time to migrate over. But back to my original point, I think with all solutions, whether it's DR as a service or cloud hosting, network and end user access is key. Being able to validate those things in advance through our DR technologies and our DR service enables us to have more success with our migrations. They can actually validate those things.
Network is always the under-provision part of this. People think, oh, I'll just move my data to the cloud, and then they discover they've got 100 terabytes or an exabyte of data. It's hard enough moving a couple of gigabytes from a lot of company offices these days. When you go through this planning with customers, how many of them suddenly have to pause, reevaluate their network, and get that sorted out way before they even start to do a proper migration?
iLAN has been in the business of doing disaster recovery and data protection, which again are heavily reliant on bandwidth availability and latency from a customer location. From my experience, at least over the last 7 years, we've seen improvement in terms of bandwidth availability globally from our customer base and the relative ease for a lot of organizations to increase their bandwidth if needed. There are obviously certain sites within the global reach of a lot of our customers where still bandwidth availability is limited. There's maybe less competition in regions and it's harder to buy bandwidth at a competitive price point. So we still see those challenges. And one of the reasons iLAN developed our cloud assessment tool, iLAN Catalyst, was really to truly assess the available bandwidth at a customer location. They may say that they have, for example, 200 megabits per second, but in the real world with production traffic and applications usage, what does that actually look like? What actually is available for replication purposes? So being able to set that expectation up front, use real data to understand exactly what is available and whether that meets the objectives to get to that recovery point objective is key. We can then go back to the customer and say, hey, look, all looks good, or we recommend you buy an additional 500 megabits per second or whatever is needed to achieve that solution.
There's a lot of talk about rewriting applications to make them cloud native. It's beyond the ability of a lot of customers to get there, the cost, the complexity, the knowledge. We're now re-establishing a different baseline here. We're talking about making them cloud ready and cloud now. But that still ignores one big issue here, and that is chatty applications. A lot of older applications were not written with bandwidth constraints in mind. As you start this migration process, how commonly do customers suddenly realize they've got really noisy applications in their environment?
It can be definitely a challenge. The good thing here is if we start that assessment early and we use real data, we can highlight that up front, because the worst thing to do is to move those applications and then find that you have that issue once you're there. Being able to set that process early and design for that, we do discover those situations where we have applications that rely on more bandwidth than others. Again, if we can set those expectations up front and help customers understand where they may need to make adaptations to their application, or again, just factor for that in terms of their internal or external network design, that's going to be really critical for customers to really understand. And in terms of just being cloud ready and cloud native, what we see as well is we primarily work with a lot of VMware-based customers, and they have a need to keep those legacy applications that they have today. They're going to need those for maybe a couple of years or more. So what we help customers from our side is being able to take that leap towards a VMware-based cloud where they can take advantage of the ability to scale, the ability to consume things based on resource consumption, the ability to gain into new markets or new regions. They can realize those cloud benefits with the applications they have. We provide a very simplified way to migrate those systems from their on-premises data center to ours. But what that gives them is the ability to then focus on what's next. I now have my applications running in an enterprise cloud with Islands. It's giving me some really great benefits. And now my guys can focus, rather than maybe on the back-end infrastructure, we can maybe move some of that focus towards application development and looking at the cloud platforms that are available to them in the market and seeing where they can take their application next, while being assured that their continuity of service is available on their current application base.
Customers have multiple delivery platforms. On-premises, been there a while. Maybe a single cloud where they've started to move applications. Business units have come along and they bought into Office 365, therefore Azure and other platforms outside there. Their challenge for IT has always been management. What makes management worse is that many of the APIs we see are poorly written, poorly maintained, and very hard to integrate when I want a single management perspective. How do you solve that?
It's a great point. You have to assess the capabilities of the software and hardware components you're leveraging in terms of their API capability. It's really good to do the testing and the UAT around those up front. In fact, when Island integrates software and hardware components into our ecosystem, we're going through the curation process of making sure that whatever we choose to achieve a solution for our customers has a really modern, robust API, so that we can then take that all up and leverage that into our platform and provide the experience to our end customer. And with our platform, we then provide an authentic API for them to leverage. That's really critical. There's varying levels of API maturity, like you mentioned. It's really important to assess that and understand that. From our side, what we try to do is once we have that integration, we try to provide, again, the same levels of standards that we would expect, right? A modern API that's addressable at any point in time, that can provide the full levels of capability of our platform. That's our vision. And we're integrating technologies from various different disparate vendors from different parts of the world. But from our side, the benefit to the customer is that they can look at one API for our platform and address capabilities from different pieces of software underneath the hood without having to write against multiple different technologies.
You talk about a single API. There's a significant challenge here. APIs have very quickly become bloated. APIs are effective when they're short, they're focused. They can be validated, they can be secured, they can be maintained. Once we get bloated into an API, it's very easy to end up with errors in an API. And because APIs work programmatically, we don't necessarily spot very quickly with security tools when there's an attack exploiting an API. How aware, how mature are your customers when it comes to API usage? And what are you doing to ensure that whatever you give them is secure and is maintained, more importantly, is usable?
From my perspective, working with customers, everyone wants to provide automation. They want to use and leverage APIs. Like you mentioned, it really depends on the maturity of the organization. I think that's where a lot of organizations want to get to, but at the moment, maybe they have specializations with just the infrastructure components and leveraging the tool sets that their vendors provide them. In those use cases, maybe they would look to the market and see if there's a specialization or a provider that can assist them with maybe building up that practice as a business in leveraging APIs. And I think security and ensuring a compatible, robust API those organizations on ILAND can assist with providing best practice and getting to that point. From our perspective, we have a very mature development team. They're always API first. That was the mantra when they came into ILAND. And they're always looking to ensure that, again, we don't suffer that bloat. We document everything going on within our API. We have a Swagger-based interface to look at the API calls that we offer. And that goes through multiple stages, obviously testing and UAT and other elements like that. And we also have external security auditing and processes that go on to ensure that we don't have vulnerabilities, for example, that may arise from utilizing that API. It's about having a robust process, having a workflow that's followed around development of that, and ensuring that it, again, stays lean, mean, and robust from our side.
One of the challenges that automation brings is speed of change. Speed of change also changes our costing factor. Everybody thinks that just moving to cloud, we go to OpEx, we're going to save a lot of money. Unfortunately, if we look at our resource usage on premises, even in a virtualized world, and then we look at resource usage when people get to cloud and they suddenly realize they can add more CPU, add more memory, add more disk on demand, there's no wait to buy phase, that resource usage becomes a very non-linear scale. How do you take customers down the path in their costing journey to understand how that shifts?
It's a multi-phase approach. At the start of it, I keep mentioning, but the ILAND Catalyst Cloud Assessment Tool and obviously other tools there in the space to look at your resource usage. One of the key things that it does is it not only understands the resource allocations today, but also looks at the resource consumption. We use our own proprietary model to understand what that consumption looks like. And what that helps us to achieve is when we have conversations with customers, we can say, well, when we look at these resources and we look at the consumption of those, you can make some changes to those machines and those systems to make them much more efficient in terms to their resource usage, which is going to help you from a cost and a scale perspective as you move towards the cloud. So we have those conversations up front. We also at ILAND have the benefit that as we move workloads to the cloud, maybe they haven't altered the allocation of those resources. On ILAND's platform, we only bill our customers for what's actually consumed from that allocation. So regardless of that bloat, they can still take efficiencies from the billing model that we bill them for the consumed resources. But I think going forward to your point where now cloud gives you the ability to add additional resources very quickly and add additional machines very quickly, how do you control that spend? How do you set the right expectations? It's really about transparency, and it's also about role-based controls and process within an organization. So if I just take the ILAND example per se, within our cloud interface, you can always see resource usage and consumption at all times. You can see cost both on an hourly basis, a predictive basis, and a monthly basis. So you can see that cost go up or down based on over time. We also have role-based access controls that could define, does this user have the permissions to increase the resources within their cloud environment? Do they have the permissions to add additional virtual machines, or will it push you through an additional process to get to that point? It is having kind of more mature business processes to make sure that that's controlled, but also having good transparency levels that are not only to the IT team, but also to the business team to allow them to track that spend within the cloud as well.
You're working with a mature technology in terms of virtualization. You understand it. Many of your customers understand it. But the problem with the mature technologies, there's always something new on the horizon. Containers, a few years old, but actually companies are just starting that journey. Serverless, coming along on top of that very quickly. All of those will shift the deployment consumption models. How do you factor that in? How do you take customers down that journey to factor that in so it doesn't become a skills and a cost shock to them?
There's always change in the technology industry. There's a plethora of technology options for our customers to consider today, and that's just going to continue to grow. From my side, I always talk about technology alone is not enough, and looking at what is the technology solving? What am I trying to solve as a business? Don't just look at technology as a thing I need to move to just because it's the latest thing. You have to take an intelligent approach of assessing, what does my business need? Does my current solution just achieve that, and I don't actually need to currently move to anything new? Or if I do need to make a change, I have a new solution or a new problem to solve as a business, let me take a look at the wider solution set, containers, serverless, whatever the technology may be, and assess it based on not just its technology capabilities, but is it addressing the use case that I have and the business need that I have? Or is it just something that I'm moving to for the reason that it's hot in the industry, for example? So I think it's really important to take a more considered approach and look at the technology and work with trusted partners who display their expertise in that space, challenge them and look at their transparency levels and see, is this truly a technology that's going to help my business? Is this the right path forward, or do I need to take a bit more of a planned, considered approach? Because technologies such as containers and serverless, there's lots of ways to do that, lots of technologies in the market. You have to make the right bet because that's a decision that maybe plays out for the next number of years for your business. So you need to make sure that that choice is the right choice for your organization.
You're at a trade show. I'm a CIO. I walk in, I sit down opposite you and say, right, I want to move to cloud. Want to go with you. What do I need to do?
Perfect. Well, I would say, why are you moving to cloud? What is the primary driver that you're looking to move to cloud for? Are you looking to make cost savings? Are you in Europe, for example, but you want to enter the North American market or the Australian market as a SaaS organization, for example? Are you looking to gain high levels of availability? Are you looking to gain better support and better technical capabilities? Are you looking for an offering that's going to give you capability to deliver a certain type of application with greater performance? What is the benefit or set of benefits that you're looking for as a CIO, as an IT admin? It's not just you as a CIO, it's everyone within the organization. How is cloud going to benefit them, and which cloud is going to benefit them in the right way? I think you should be thinking like that, not just as, hey, I want to go to cloud and that's the right place to go, but why am I moving to cloud and which environment is going to give me the best set of capabilities, not just for now, but in the future? What does their roadmap look like? What does their technology evolution look like, and what's their track record? It's just not this for no reason. You have to look to the reason and evaluate that.
How many people can actually answer those questions when you first talk to them?
I'd like to say that definitely ILAND can, but it's really about having a partnership is what drives ILAND. We've been in business 25 years. We're a privately held organization. And what has driven our success is really a partnership with our customers, because they're the lifeblood of our organization. If you're looking to the cloud, it's just around gauging the level of belief that the organization has, the level of commitment that they have to work together to get to the point that you want to do. Are they working together to the same point? You have to just work with your provider to understand that.
Sounds like it could be a fun journey.
It's definitely a fun journey, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the next few years bring. It's just constant movement forward, and it's an exciting place to be.
Sam, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.